Now live from EverBank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday, brought to you by Metro Rooter. It's Jaguars Today live at EverBank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, it's a football show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Jaguar-centric football show, I would say. Very heavy on the Jaguar aspect of it. But it is a big day in terms of sports. It's Jackie Robinson Day.
Yes, it is.
In Major League Baseball, the day where Jackie Robinson is honored for his contributions to the game for breaking, not breaking the color barrier, but breaking the permanent color barrier in Major League Baseball. Go out there and look up Moses Fleetwood Walker, okay? Because
right.
He did it back in the 1800s, about two decades after the Civil War. I think it wasn't tough to do it back then, but he only played 1 year and was kind of lost to history. And Jackie Robinson was the guy who stuck around permanently. Of course, his number retired, number 42. I think Mariano Rivera was the last guy wearing it. Right?
He was.
There were about, 15 guys, something like that, grandfathered in, whoever had it at the time.
And Rivera played the longest after that period.
Right, he was the last guy.
I think it was 2000.
Was it that long ago?
I think it was 2000 when they decided that, but I'm not sure.
It's much better than calling it tax day, right?
Yeah.
Hope you got your taxes. Oh, no, you forgot. Oh, no. Well, you got 7 hours. You could call Kevin Green, my CPA. He might be a little bit busy today, I have a feeling. Probably too late for you. You're going to get a late deposit penalty from the IRS if you haven't gotten things taken care of. We are a last-minute group in the Dempsey household.
Oh, you're getting it done today?
Oh, but it's under. No, we're done.
Okay.
It may be sent off by Kevin today, but it's done. I may have signed the final paper yesterday as far as that goes. So, God bless America. Happy to have the opportunity to pay my pound of flesh every year, Tony. It's a wonderful country. We appreciate it very much. Jackie Robinson today, we're looking for a way to kind of incorporate that into the show today. We didn't want to trivialize it. You know what I mean? I mean, there are very few athletes in any sport that have made the kind of cultural impact that Jackie Robinson has made. And, I don't know any rational person that doesn't appreciate what Jackie Robinson did and what he had to go through and see the injustice of what he had to go through and the way he handled himself with class and dignity. Never mind the aspect of the sports aspect of it. Guy was arguably, he's not the first name that gets brought up. The Bo Jacksons, the Deion Sanders, in terms of the greatest multi-sport athletes of all time. Go look up his record at UCLA, basketball, baseball, football, track. The guy was everything.
He's phenomenal.
Absolutely unbelievable. And
it happened to be baseball.
Honestly,
in this country, it needed to be. Because the two biggest things going at that point in time were boxing and baseball. And baseball was such a mainstream event that it needed to be in baseball if that color barrier was going to be broken permanently. Jackie Robinson happened to choose that path. Branch Rickey and the decision that he made bringing him in and making him part of that Brooklyn Dodgers team. And look, if you're not aware of some of the backlash and reaction from people who were not so happy about Jackie Robinson being a part of Major League Baseball, then do yourself a favor and read up on it a little bit and what he sacrificed to put himself in that position. And he was the perfect guy to do. He handled it so well. Everything that was going on around him, a great ambassador for the sport, and obviously a huge, huge momentum-changing day in the history of the sports landscape of this entire country, Jackie Robinson showing up for the Dodgers.
So we're looking for a theme that could kind of play off of that. And, we thought, do we want to talk about the most significant, socially impactful athletes since Jackie Robinson? And you think, there are some that come to mind, certainly. I mean, I could name a number of them off the top of my head, and we could do that kind of show. And we also thought about, is there a current athlete? There's nothing really akin to what that's going through. I mean, some people would argue Michael Sam could have been that kind of guy. I'm not going to get into the argument of, one kind of prejudice versus another. But he's not a current athlete as far as that goes anyway. So in the end, we kind of watered it down. We boiled it down, but we wanted to make it kind of a feel good, situation. We're thinking about, which which Jaguar, which NFL player has had the biggest kind of impact on you personally? And, you know, in the end, again, I guess it's a personal thing. We don't know all these guys. We don't know everybody's heart. We don't know, you know, even guys you think you know very well, you don't always know as well as you do or as well as you think you do. So what we ended up boiling it down to was something that you can call in on today as well as tweet us at MD_1010XL or at 1010XL Fat Tony and just basically tell us about your best face-to-face encounter with a Jacksonville Jaguar. I know this pales. I'm not trying to equate this to Jackie Robinson.
No.
You know what I'm saying? But this is more something we're talking about, you know, who is your hero? Who is the person? Who's the athlete that's impacted your life the most? And I really, honestly, I can't think of an athlete that's actually impacted my life beyond the joy of being a fan. You know what I mean? I mean, not in the way that Jackie Robinson impacted the lives of so many African Americans and so many other people of other, you know, backgrounds as well, opening their eyes to the fact that, you know what, everybody, people are people, right?
Yeah.
So we basically, if you want to partake in that, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships question of the day, just ask you what, about your best face-to-face encounter you've ever had with a Jacksonville
Jaguar. I mean, we're watching Latin Americans in baseball. I'm not sure how much of that would have been going on. I know if you go back and watch Ken Burns, his baseball documentary is amazing talking about all of this, but I mean, there was a point in time when there was Mexican players trying to play baseball in this country that would say they were Native Americans. They would say they were Indians so that they wouldn't be persecuted for coming on the field. I mean, there was a point in time in this country's history where that's the kind of things that were going on. Jackie Robinson and his courage changed all that.
All right, so that's one thing we'll do today. We'll do a lot of less highbrow type stuff. We'll talk a little bit about the growing. It's not new, this Philip Rivers being traded to Tennessee talk. It's been going on for weeks, but it's just seems to be reaching more of a crescendo as we get closer
to
the draft.
There's a lot of things that seem to be doing that this week.
Yeah, and you know what? is it just the case that now's the time when lying season is in full effect? As we talked about that with Rob Rang yesterday, and he seems to think that's the case. But there are some reasons why Philip Rivers to Tennessee makes a lot of sense, including, I think, the most obvious one that's not being talked about. So we'll discuss that as we go along today. Greg Jennings leaves Jacksonville without a contract from the Jags. Not that we expected it. It wasn't one of those necessarily you're going to come in and sign on the dotted line. Greg Jennings, as we said, and I think the Jags as well, is looking at the landscape. They are looking at the landscape. The Jags are probably saying, all right, now we got a picture of Greg Jennings' level of interest here, what we think he can do here, what kind of guy he is, you know, based on his Twitter stuff. Seems to be a pretty family-oriented guy, what have you. Whatever. Can he play is the number one thing. And is he going to fit into the locker room? And then you go into the draft, and you come out in a couple weeks, and you say, okay, did we address the slot receiver position, which we clearly wanted to, in going after Randall Cobb in free agency, or, you know, attempting to pry him away from Green Bay, and we're unsuccessful doing that, obviously. And if not, maybe you circle back to Greg Jennings later on. That's kind of the situation as we laid out earlier in the week. We thought it was going to come down to with him, and but he's off to New Orleans now to take a visit with the Saints. Randy Gregory visited New Orleans. He had some interesting things to say. not common refrain that people give when visiting the Big Easy, but we'll get into that a little bit. Watch a Justified season finale last night, Tony. Sad to see it go. Walton Goggins is the king of FX. He is just simply the best, most consistently great actor that channel, that network has featured over the years. Wasn't the lead guy in The Shield, but he was like the number two.
Yeah.
And he was phenomenal, and in many ways was an equal, if not better, character than Vic Mackey. Was a phenomenal side character, Venus Van Damme, on Sons of Anarchy, if you ever watched that series. And then as the counterpoint to Timothy Oliphant's Raylan Givens, Walton Goggins playing Boyd Crowder for all these years on Justified, I thought it was a pretty fitting wrap up to the series last night. Love my serial television, man.
I know you do.
I do.
And, I know you do. Justified's another one of those I still have to completely catch up on. I think I saw the first three episodes of the show.
If I'm not mistaken, his character was supposed to die in the first episode of the series. And he was so popular that they basically brought him back from the dead. He was in the hospital, and the bullet where he got shot in the chest missed everything.
Yeah, I saw him get shot.
Right. It was a... you know, what do they call that? An in and out. What do they call that kind of shot when you get shot and it goes right through? Whatever the case may be. You know, it's the only reason I know it is because I watch from many of these darn shows and I can't recall it at this moment. So, we'll get into, you know, a little bit of the pop culture stuff as well today. Chris Burke of SI's got a new mock draft out there. What does he have the Jaguars doing? It's a two rounder. We'll get into that as the speculation will continue to swirl. Now, 2 weeks from today, we'll do on this show the first 16 picks of the media mock draft. We split it up last year between shows because you just can't do 32 picks justice in 2 hours.
No.
So we'll do the 16 picks.
That'd be really good.
In the first half of the draft coming up 2 weeks from today. And then, Tony, I'm off to Chicago for Thursday and Friday. I'm going to go to the NFL draft. Actually, I'm going to go to the Fan Fest. I'm going to broadcast for SiriusXM, and I'll be checking in with you and the rest of the crew here on 1010XL live from Chicago on the ground as the Jags look to, you know, add a couple of pieces on those first couple of days that hopefully get them over the hump towards at least a 500 record this year.
No, that'd be cool. A verdict is in.
It's in.
In the Aaron Hernandez trial. Not sure what it is yet, but the jury has come to a decision.
We will see if we can come back with that coming up momentarily. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars today just getting rolling. If you want to get in on anything we laid out there or any aspect of the NFL and the Jacksonville Jaguars, 641-1010, the number for you as always. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank Field. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. It's a really good song. Can folks hear this one, Tyler?
That's today,
my,
yes.
That would be my question. They can. Tonight is going to be a jailbreak. Well, we'll see if there needs to be a jailbreak, Tony. Of course, even if Aaron Hernandez is found not guilty, I guess the verdict's not in, right? I mean, it's in, but it's not announced.
It's in. They're waiting on the jury to get to the court.
Going
to
pull the jury, the whole nonsense. I say nonsense. It's kind of a life or death situation here, but even if he's found not guilty, he's going to get found guilty of something. Even if he's not found guilty of first-degree murder, he's going to get found guilty of something. And even if he were to be exonerated of all charges, he'd go into custody for
a waiting trial. He's not walking out of that courthouse today.
No. No, he's not. No, he's not.
So, he's got a double murder trial he's going to be facing after this.
Correctamundo. So we will wait to see what the verdict is.
Yeah.
But a verdict has been reached.
And we'll see what kind of verdict we get, and that may, you know, change what's going to happen with that double murder trial. They may decide to plea that down or something like that, depending on what kind of years they could get on him today. We don't know what the verdict is yet, though.
Aaron Hernandez doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to roll on somebody, right? I just don't think he's going to go for a lesser sentence because he convinced basically his girlfriend took a deal to testify against him to not say anything, right?
No, I get that. I don't think he'll roll on anybody. I think you could be in a position as the prosecution after today. If you got a sentence today that basically said Aaron Hernandez is spending the rest of his life
right
in jail, then what's the point of having another trial? You know,
the rest of your life in jail doesn't always mean the rest of your life in jail.
Right, but it's if you feel comfortable with that, then you can take some kind of deal that's going to add however many years to a sentence. You don't have to roll on anybody and it's done. You don't have to do the second trial.
Right. Well,
that all depends on the outcome.
Either way, serial murderer Aaron Hernandez.
My goodness.
Allegedly. Will soon not be allegedly. Multiple murderer, I have a feeling. We'll see. The first one is Odin Lloyd, and we'll get the verdict. We'll tell you what it is as soon as we can find out, as soon as it's announced, as far as that goes. All right. So with that, let's go to the phone, 641-1010. It should be fun today, I think, talking about this. Your favorite face-to-face encounter with a Jacksonville Jaguar, mm-hmm, past or present. Right, can be a member of the Jaguar alumni or a current player on the team. A personal encounter that you had where you're like, wow, that was pretty cool in whatever venue. Share your thoughts on that with us today. We've had one, Eric Harris tweet us, he did not appreciate Tom Coughlin's level of tipping when he got his car detailed and washed. What's the appropriate amount of tip you're supposed to give to a car wash person?
I don't know, but apparently it's more than he got.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that is, what that's supposed to be. Is it, you know, your 15% is your basic in a restaurant, right? And if the service is good, maybe 20%, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of how it goes. I don't know what the standard is. There a standard? Is when tipping is expected or part of the process? Is it the same for everybody? Like, I don't tip. Put it this way. The guy who comes up and hustles up to your cart and starts washing your clubs before you know if you want your clubs washed after a round of golf, he ain't getting 15% of the greens fee, all right, typically, right? That's probably not going to happen, I'm thinking. I'll tip a guy $5, but usually that's less than 15% of your typical green and cart fees that you paid. So I don't know. You do whatever.
Don,
you
I'm with
like.
You. I've been the guy who rushes
I know
up
you
starts,
have.
Starts rubbing down those clubs would, before
I
someone
would,
asks.
I would tip you well because you... You clean the clubs like no man's
That's
business.
That's right. I like the idea of if I was playing golf, I'd like to come off and be, I'd like to leave. Like, even if I wanted my clubs cleaned, I'd like to come off the golf course and be like, okay, now I can just go. Tip the kid a couple bucks and get out of here.
By the way, guys, the verdict is in, yes. And Aaron Hernandez has been found guilty.
Guilty of what?
First-degree murder.
First-degree murder.
Yep.
Good.
Good.
Good. He's a heinous, vile...
Justice prevails.
By the way, did you see who Lawrence Phillips is alleged to have killed in his cell?
All I know is it's a first-degree murderer.
R.J. Soward's cousin.
Really? Really?
I mean, Tony, what are the...
That's crazy.
What are the odds of that? I mean, I read that yesterday. I don't remember the guy's name. I don't remember what he was in for. We read the story that his cousin was in the cell with Lawrence Phillips. He was the one who was found dead.
Really?
I mean, what are the... think about that. We talked about, you know, the Jags were interested in drafting Lawrence Phillips. Man, imagine they could have had a direct connection to the story. I mean, how utterly bizarre
that
is
really
that?
It really is.
I mean, condolences to R.J. Soward and his family. Not that they need my condolences, but, just because someone's in jail doesn't mean you don't necessarily... love them, you know, and all that. I don't know his story. May have been a terrible person himself. I don't know. But what a weird...
That's really weird.
...weird connection that is. I mean, that just totally out of left field, I thought. All right, let's go to the phones. On that note, let's put that aside...
His cousin.
...if we possibly can, and focus on your best face-to-face encounter you've had with a Jag, past or present. Let's go to Nick to start us off on Jaguars today. Good morning, Nick. Thanks for hanging on. How are you?
Morning. You guys are really at either ends of the spectrum today with Robinson on one hand and Aaron Hernandez on the other.
Aaron Hernandez, right. One should not reflect on the other, nor does it.
I want to make 2 points real quick. First of all, you were talking about Jackie Robinson, and one of the reasons that he didn't want to play football was because the opportunity for quote-unquote injury in football at the hands of other players, possibly racist white players, dissuaded him from playing football. He was actually a better football player than he was a baseball player, supposedly, when he played at UCLA. So,
if I'm not, now, I'm trying to dig back in my memory banks, and maybe I'm wrong about this. I could have sworn I read he was even a better basketball player than anything, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, this was pre-Wooden era UCLA,
mm-hmm.
but he was thought to be an exceptional basketball player. Regardless, you play at that high a level. In those multiple sports, you are an amazing, amazing athlete, no question about it. But that's interesting, Nick. I could see that. You know, Tony, if they were out to get you, it's a lot easier to get you in football than it is in baseball when you're playing second base. They can spike you when you're turning two.
Yeah.
But there are not too many other opportunities to be got when it comes to that. All right, Nick, thank you for the call and the clarification. Let's go to Jerome next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing this morning?
Good. What you got for us?
I got to say, when I was younger, I was at Trinity, and the Florida Gators came through, and they did a little autograph signing. And I would have to say Willie Jackson back in the heyday, before he got drafted, or I guess it was the year that he was going to get drafted or so.
Okay.
He would have been the only Jaguar I know that I had face-to-face and really shook his hand and gave me an autograph and everything when I was a kid.
Nice guy and everything. Seemed like he wasn't just ready to get out of there the second he shook your hand, that kind of thing.
Well, there was a whole group of them. It was like a whole bunch of the Gators players and everything. And when they came, they were sitting down in like a room, and they had them all lined up against the desk, and everybody walked through, shook their hand, get an autograph, talk to them or whatnot. But, I mean, he seemed all right. As a little kid, I mean, what can you ask for? You're just probably more excited to see a Gator than it was wherever he was. But you were just excited to see him. And, I enjoyed it.
All right, cool. Jerome, appreciate it, man. Got this tweet, Tony, from Jay, at @Duval_Teal.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pretty cool picture he showed. He said, actually, my best face-to-face encounter was with Blake Bortles just last weekend. He played catch with my boys while doing an appearance. And there's a picture of him in a parking lot there hanging out with three or four kids. That's pretty cool.
That
man.
Is, I mean, pretty cool.
You know what that means to a kid like that?
Oh, goodness.
That's unbelievable, right? My family came up here last week. My nieces, my girls, I call them. My nieces live in Louisiana, and they don't know the Jags from a hole in the wall. But I brought them in to the building, showed them, and brought them upstairs, showed them where we eat lunch. And Blake happened to be sitting there eating lunch.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, that's a quarterback of the Jags. And they're like, they knew this. He's a quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
And they didn't know his name. They didn't know anything about him. And they're like, oh, really? Why, you see him every day? I'm like, well, not every day, but yeah, we see him a lot. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. And you forget, I mean, what it must be like to be a little kid as a Jaguar fan. 8 years old.
Right.
In your jersey. Then you got a picture of this kid. He's just standing there with his flip-flops and his Jag shirt just looking up at Blake. It's awesome. It's phenomenal. All right, let's go back to the phones. Welcome Dan on board. Dan, you're on Jaguars today. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Big fan.
Thanks.
This probably had to be close to about 10 years ago, but I was playing golf at Southampton with a friend of mine, and the pace of play was real slow, so we ended up joining with the group ahead of us, which was Ernest Wilford, and we ended up betting dinner on the back nine. And I beat him, and it was, you know, fun to go inside the clubhouse and call my mom and tell her she didn't have to come pick me up. Ernest Wilford was taking me home, and he took me and my friend out to dinner. And, my family's huge Jag fan. And so they start calling all the neighbors saying, Ernest, I'm bringing my friend Christian back home. And, we get back, and everyone's in the driveway like, wait, is that really Ernest Wilford? And, he came out and, like, met all of us and, played basketball. And dunked on all of us. It was a good time. So.
Hey, now, do you remember what you shot that day? Because Ernest, I don't know how good he was, but he played all the time out at Southampton.
Yeah, he wasn't a bad player. I mean, it wasn't too low. I think I shot 82 and he shot 84.
Okay.
But, being like a 13-year-old kid, it was fun at the time. And so he may still be in the area. I'm not exactly sure.
I'm not either. Ernest, if you're out there, give us a holler. 641-1010. I thought Tony, he would cap that story by saying, and there was this young lad named Tony Smith who came up and got me on 18.
Not 10 years ago.
Nah, not 10 years ago. I know. The time frame was off, but the course was right.
It was.
Nevertheless.
I saw Ernest out there a lot when I was working.
I'd see him out there on the range. Mm-hmm. Anytime he went out. Ernest Wilford loved golf. Probably still does, and particularly love playing at Southampton. I think he lived out there, right? If I'm not mistaken,
yeah, he did.
In that area, out there in Southampton. All right, if you'd like to get on board, 641-1010. We'll get into some other stories going around the National Football League, but share yours today, your favorite face-to-face encounter you've had with a Jag, past or present, either via Twitter, at @MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, or right here, 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Metro Rooter Wednesday live at Everbank Field. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Ah, first Lollapalooza. Awesome. Phenomenal. They didn't play till about 8 o'clock at night. It was a long day, bro.
You know, I saw Jane's Addiction once at Lollapalooza. In fact, about 3 years ago, I saw him.
Are they still making the rounds at Lollapalooza? Is that right? I mean, first Lollapalooza was what, like 91,
96,
Tony?
92, I think, actually.
92? All right, whatever it was. It was a long, long time ago. They're still doing Lollapalooza, then, I take it.
Yeah, Fuel flew in on a helicopter and, like, dropped down from the helicopter on stage downtown Chicago. It was awesome.
There you go. What are you looking up over there?
I was looking up this year's Lollapalooza.
Oh, right, you're looking up the lineup?
Yeah.
See if I know any of the acts who are playing there?
You'll know some of these.
Would
acts.
I
mean, the first two listed are Paul McCartney and Metallica.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be, I mean, the Lollapalooza, the idea was that it was all like alternative, kind of.
Well, then it goes Florence and the Machine, who I'm sure you've heard of, Sam Smith, Bass Nectar. I love Bass Nectar. The Weeknd, Alt J, Alabama Shakes of Monsters and Men, and on from there.
Yeah, I've heard a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney.
Metallica.
Alabama Shakes. I've heard of them. I don't know what they do, but I've heard of them.
They do that kind of, they got a real soulful sound.
You know what? I think I saw them.
They were on SNL.
I did see them on Saturday Night Live.
She got the big girl as the lead vocalist. She could sing.
Big girl.
Yeah.
Jeez.
She is big. She's a big woman.
The big girl.
But she can sing, boy. She can really belt it out.
All right. Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial, your business, whatever. They'll take care of you. Metro Rooter. I hope you don't have plumbing issues. But if you do, make the call to 695-1911. 695-1911 with same-day service, weekends included. They've got the right people and the right equipment to solve your plumbing issues. Metro Rooter, serving Jacksonville since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or, again, call 695-1911 for our friends Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor at Jaguars Today. Today, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asking you about your favorite face-to-face encounter you've had with a Jacksonville Jaguar, past or present. So let's take a few more calls as we motor along through the first hour today. Larry, you're up next on 1010XL. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
Hey, real quick, I heard you guys talking in the break. Is McCartney opening for Metallica or is Metallica opening for McCartney?
I don't know. That's just the lineup that they have up there. I didn't see a schedule.
Yeah, maybe they alternate, right? City by city.
Right.
You know, who gets the top billing. I don't know. Paul was pretty rough on the SNL 40th anniversary.
I heard they're both playing together.
Are they playing together?
No.
Stop it. Go ahead, Larry.
Two big different fan bases. But anyway.
No question.
Yeah, I've run into David Garrard several times. He's always been really, really nice. But one time that really sticks out, it was like a Thursday of game week, the last season he was here, and it was up at the town center. He's walking into Best Buy, and he was walking just like an 80 or 90 year old man that had been through the ringer, and he was still very nice. Shook my hand, took a picture, and I told my wife, I said, I just feel so bad. It hit me right there how much abuse those guys take. And if he was walking like that on Thursday, I can only imagine what it felt like on Monday when he woke up.
Oh, no doubt, man. I mean, when they're in the midst of game week, it takes a little while sometimes. But you have one of those rough games. Dave's doing pretty good now, I think, right?
He is.
Physically, right?
Yeah.
He looks like he's doing well. But there's no question, man. I mean, some of the stories you hear are what guys need to go through just to get them back out at practice later in the week.
Yeah, the first time that you get the opportunity, and we get it every week, but the opportunity to go into a locker room after a game and just see the carnage that is caused by playing it. And I mean, it really is like a car wreck on every play for these guys. And that they go out there and do it at the level that they do is pretty amazing. I don't know how you recover from that and get ready at the level that they're at. Professional. These are men going up against men. And that they can recover in the course of a couple days and be ready to go again is pretty incredible.
You know, we think Dave's one of the all-time best. He's one of the all-time good guys in my book. So thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Larry. Let's move along to the cabbie. Hello, cabbie. What's up?
Hey, guys. I've had four encounters with this Jaguars. I met this Ellie at the airport one time. I met before I moved to Montreal, and I had Ernest in my cab. I took the beach down somewhere off the beach. And my encounter is Tom Yurkovic. He wished they had a white and went and get a couple autographs and a bunch of them come by. And there's Jerko sitting out there. Jerko sitting out there in his truck with his tailgate down with a couple pictures, pools of beer. And he had a beer with John Yurkovic. He's a hell of a nice guy, John Yurkovic.
All right. Thank you, Cab. You're breaking up a little bit there, but it basically had a couple beers with Yurko in the tailgate of his truck. In Yurko's truck.
Yurko strikes me as the type of guy who may do that.
Sounds extremely Yurko.
Yeah, it
to
does.
Me. It sounds quintessential Yurko, actually, to me. So there you have it. Let's go. Where are we going next? I think we got Joe up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're great. How are you?
Awesome. Hey, the very first, back in the day, very first draft party, when it was 600 the ball.
Okay.
At the Medville Grill, I had made calls during the week and stuff, and I got on Frangie's team, which we won the draft party. But
on Frangie's team, it wasn't on 600 the ball.
Well, it was 9:30 back then, maybe. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, okay.
We went to the Medville Grill, and I brought my son. And Pacelli was our pro on our team. And so Baselli sat there for that draft with my son by him. He signed a football for him. He signed his jersey, signed his shirt. My son will never, ever forget. He sat there as a seven-year-old boy, just a little fella, next to Big Bo, and we got pictures of it, you know. And he had just the time of his life. Tony was asking him, Frank was asking him every draft pick who we should get, and you know, and what he was thinking, and included him. I just sat back and watched the show. It was great.
That's pretty cool, man.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Joe. Tony could be nice when he tries. I'm just kidding, Tony. Tony was a lot bigger, Bo.
He's nice to kids.
Back
then. Tony Baselli. Nice to children.
To ladies and small children is what he's good with that. But that brings back memory. I remember the day the ball quit. They just gave up. They had enough. Now apparently it's happened again. You know, it happens, Tony.
It does.
It happens in this business. Let's go to Eric. Oh, I'm sorry, not Eric. Where am I going? Bob is up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Bob.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Tony. It's been quite a while since I talked to you. Mine's a little bit different. I came down here in 98 after teaching for 30 years in New York, and I decided to do something completely different. So I said I'd deliver flowers, and which was very interesting when I'd only been here 3 days. Well, at the time, Mark Brunell and his wife had just had their youngest one and had come home from the hospital. And in those days, they lived out in the same community as Tom Coughlin and Baselli. And so I took flowers out there about three times that day. And after the third or fourth time, whatever it was, Mark said, why don't you come in and have a soda, an iced tea or a sweet tea or something with us before you move on. So I called because it shows, the courtesy and stuff that Mark and his family have, and they're great people. So just wanted to share that one with you because it's a little bit different. Okay.
All right, Bob, you been okay, man? We used to hear from you all the time, Bob. How you been? You good?
Well, thanks for asking. Well, I've had a rough month, but I'm coming back from it. I had to put a hold on the chemotherapy because it was killing my blood cells, not going to all that because people don't want to hear that. But I'm going to be starting a new experimental program before long. But I listen all the time, but I'm more involved with the listening, and especially when I was in the hospital for 2.5 weeks in the past month. And you guys keep me sane, if that's at all possible for me to be sane.
At least I have that effect on somebody, Bob. It doesn't work on my own self, but yes. Best to you, man, all right?
Yeah, good luck, Bob.
Hey, thanks for asking, and I appreciate that, and it's good to talk to you guys again.
All right, buddy, you got it. There you go. I got to tell you the little Brunell anecdote I've been looking at and holding for this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, I told you about this. This cracks me up. Randy Gregory. We all know the draft prospect out of Nebraska.
Yeah.
Got caught with marijuana at the combine, what have you. So was it Adam Schefter reported between like now and the draft? He's in a different city, with the exception of one day, he's in a different city every single day.
Yeah, he's visiting like every team.
Every
in
single
the
team
yeah.
in the league he's visiting with. And fine. So he goes to New Orleans and he tweets out, I don't know what the big deal is about New Orleans. Seems pretty boring to me, LOL. Wrong time of year, maybe? Question mark? All right. So,
that's going to work out well.
That's going to go over well with the people of New Orleans who pride themselves on being the most entertaining city in the world, right? And look, you go to New Orleans, unless you're going to the right part of New Orleans, this is like any other place, right? I mean, if you go down to Bourbon Street, you go downtown, it's festive, it's crazy, particularly during Mardi Gras and all that stuff, but it's not always, wall-to-wall zaniness. But anyway, so he tweets that out, and so people react negatively to that, and da-da-da-da-da,
no.
Of course, right, because Twitter, of course. So anyway, so he not necessarily backpedaling, but he's going to give you the other side. Here's why I like New Orleans. So he goes with a hashtag, reasons why I love NOLA, New Orleans, Louisiana, right?
Okay.
Picture. He tweets out a picture of their Lombardi trophy.
Yeah.
And he says, hashtag reasons why I love NOLA, they have championships. Well, they actually have one.
They got one.
But all right.
They got one.
I see where you're going
with
that.
They technically won the NFC championship that year, too. So
correct.
We'll call it championships.
Championships. They're good for
a guy who struggles against smoking pot every day. It's pretty good.
He's in the ballpark.
That's reasonable.
He's in the ballpark. So his next tweet, hashtag reasons why I love NOLA, he has a shot of a team photo from the championship season, but he's zoomed in on number 11 of the New Orleans Saints, which happens to be Mark Brunell.
Yeah.
Remember, he was backing up Drew Brees at the time, right? So he tweets, "Who knew one of my all-time favorites was behind Brees on the championship team? Hashtag reasons why I love Nola." Well, wait a minute. If he's one of your all-time favorites, maybe you should have known, right? I mean, who knew? Oh, look, here's another reason why I love Nola that I just discovered 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, I don't know about that guy.
Yeah, that's so Gregory went, here are the things I love about New Orleans. Not the food, not the music, not the parades, not the festival, not the people. I like the championships. All right. That's good. And I like the
Super
fact
Bowl
that,
title's good.
I like the fact that I just realized Mark Brunell used to play backup quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. So there you have it. Randy Gregory, man of the people, making friends
good
and influencing
gravy.
People out in New Orleans, Louisiana. If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010. If you missed it, a little bit earlier, verdict in the Aaron Hernandez trial, guilty of first-degree murder. I assume guilty of the gun charges he was facing.
Yes,
probably
life without parole.
Life without parole.
Yes.
Good. Hope that means what it says. It would seem like it does. And now you're right. Now, if you got life without parole, I believe, does Massachusetts have the death penalty? I want to say they don't.
I don't think so.
Right? Because, like, the Boston Marathon bombing thing was that a federal trial, and that's why they're facing
the
death penalty?
Yeah.
Okay. So, if that's the case, there's no point in doing anything with this other trial other than, you know, you want the victims will want some kind of verdict against him. So, you know, but if you're Aaron Hernandez, what's the point in fighting it? I guess, I don't know. Maybe it'll give you more cred inside. But the only thing I was thinking of is if that, I can't remember, was that in Massachusetts as well, the double murder trial, or was that one of his many other murderous stops along the way?
I don't remember where that took place.
I'm not sure either. So what my point being, if it's in a place where he could face the death penalty, they might not extradite him for trial anyway, right? If you don't have the death penalty, says the non-lawyer in the room, as far as that goes. All right, coming up this date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL. We'll hear some thoughts from Todd McShay and Brian Baldinger on who may be the most pro-ready and or best overall prospects in the draft. A couple of playmakers that have been mentioned as possible targets for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll do that coming up. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Metro Rooter Wednesday halftime on Jaguars Today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, first of all, your coach is a big goofball in a big way, in a good way.
Yeah,
right?
He's already back from TPC, apparently.
I don't know how close he hit a shot, but Gus Brown, we just had our favorite encounter with Gus Brown. We just went by the window, rapped on the window, made a face, and flashed a peace sign. That's Gus Bradley in a nutshell. The state in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Not a ton happening on this date, Tony, in football history, but in 1965, the NFL did something that changed something that we're so used to nowadays. They changed the penalty flag. It went from white to the bright gold, we call it yellow, that it is today. And, you know, wanted to make it more visible, more distinguishable from towels and other things out on the field.
Wasn't it red at some point?
I think it way back in the history, it was red. But apparently for 50 years now, it's been bright gold. And that happened 50 years ago. This date, Tony, who knew 50 years ago that there'd be a show in Jacksonville, Florida talking about
April 15th.
It. How about that? Tax day, baby. Jackie Robinson Day. The state football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Check out the Somnamed Custom Fit Snore Guard. Call 620-9225 if you're in the market for a family dentist or you need cosmetic work done. Visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That has been this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The Detroit Lions and Tampa Bay Buccaneers have come to an agreement that will prevent the three-year, $9 million offer the Bucs gave to restricted free agent defensive end George Johnson from having to be reviewed by an arbitrator. The Lions disputed the structure of that offer sheet from the Bucs, but now instead of having to wait for an arbitrator to decide, the two teams have agreed to swap undisclosed late-round draft picks, and Johnson is now a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Free agent wide receiver Greg Jennings visited with the Jags yesterday. Jennings has already visited with the Carolina Panthers and Miami Dolphins as well, and according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, Jennings is expected to visit the New Orleans Saints next. New York Jets tight end Jay Samaro made a comment recently regarding Rex Ryan about new Jets head coach Todd Bowles, saying that last year Ryan basically wasn't holding guys accountable, and this year he feels like Bowles is. Rex Ryan apparently thinks that comment is way out of line. His response via the Monday Morning Quarterback, quote, "He's full of blank, and I'll remind him of that when we play him. Look, we weren't perfect, and I never said we were going to be perfect, but that's a blanking BS comment. But hey, he's happy that he's got a different coach in place. We'll see how happy he is when I play against him."
Sounds like they didn't get along when they were there, right? That Amaro didn't like it. And by the way, Rex says he's happy as a new coach in place. In other words, he wasn't happy with me, didn't like the way I ran things. And who knows, maybe Rex did. Look, everybody... Maybe not everybody, right? I mean, that's the, we say everybody. Bill Parcells, infamously, had a different set of rules for Lawrence Taylor, right? Basically let him run roughshod because he showed up on Sunday and was the greatest defensive player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Jordan had the Jordan rules. He could do whatever he wanted, treat anyone any way he wanted to. Didn't matter because, well, come game time, Michael Jordan was Michael freaking Jordan.
Right.
And, you know, here I don't get the sense that there's a big sense of entitlement with anybody. So maybe I shouldn't say that there are always special circumstances, but I do believe that it's not uncommon for superstar players, not that the Jets are loaded with superstar players, you know, but some guys, the better players, to maybe get away with a few more liberties than other guys. And I guess if you're a rookie coming in and you're like, hey, we're not winning enough games here for anybody to be taking liberties with anything, and I guess you could say, you know, shut up, Rook, and keep it to yourself, but who knows? I mean, we weren't in that locker room. And it certainly, I loved Rex when he was coach of the Jets. I can see I'm not going to love him as coach of the Bills. And
he's got that same attitude.
That's just how he is, but yeah. That's what I loved about him. I mean, I didn't mind. I liked the bluster with him. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but challenging Jason Amaro, we'll see how much he likes it when we go to play him. And then apparently Amaro tweeted something along the lines of, like, all right, game on then, and has since deleted it. Dude, why? Why delete the tweets? There's
right,
no
you've
point.
You've already gone down this road.
Right.
It's not that big a deal.
So what? It's obvious you two guys apparently don't like each other. So what's wrong with you putting it out on Twitter if the other guy challenges you to say, all right, let's
all right,
do this
right,
thing.
Okay. I'll see you then. All see right. you twice a year for the until you get fired. Again,
come on, man.
Or until I get cut or traded or leave in free agency. How about that? All right. We got a few sound bites we want to play for you here. Todd McShay on SportsCenter this very morning, as a matter of fact. We tease us at the top of the show, and which playmakers out there are starting to get a little more word of mouth, and he's talking about Amari Cooper, Todd McShay is, and describes him as being the most pro-ready player in this draft.
You know, I could try to find some other players to talk about, but I think he's the most pro-ready player in this draft. You know, you talked about all the numbers, comparing the numbers with Kevin White, and I get it, but when you watch the tape, the route running, understanding how to get off the press, which you don't see a ton of college wide receivers have to do, knowing where the first down marker is, sharpness in and out of his breaks, the acceleration out of his cuts, ball skills in traffic, every box you look for at the wide receiver position, you check it off with Amari Cooper. I think he's going to be a really productive player early and has a chance to be a star in this league.
You know, Tony, I think we are fixated on defensive line for a couple of reasons. A, the positional value that the NFL has ingrained in us, right, is that you've got quarterback, defensive end, cornerback, left tackle among the premium positions. I think wide receiver has been rising in value in today's game, although you can get them. You don't necessarily have to take them in the top five to get them, but... Also, you know, you harken back to Dave Caldwell's comments about the building block pieces you're looking for. Your left tackle, your QB, your defensive end, not necessarily in that order. And the only one they haven't taken with their top pick is the defensive end. But there is that school of thought that if you believe you've got the right guy at quarterback, then you do everything you can to give him the best chance of success. Like if you have a caretaker quarterback, maybe you build your defense and you say, we got to overcome the caretaker quarterback. But if you've got a guy that you think is truly the franchise guy, then give him the weapons to prove it, right? You got out and got Julius Thomas. You drafted two wide receivers last year, and Allen Hurns was a great find, okay? Amari Cooper, come on down. I'm not opposed to it. You know what I mean? I mean, to me, again, yes, they don't have that one alpha defensive end that you got a game plan for, but they got a pretty solid defense, had a good pass rush. Maybe you're able to fall into a guy in the second round, the third round. And you can make the argument, well, wide receiver's typically deeper. Maybe you can do the same thing. But if Amari Cooper is the most pro-ready, if he's a difference maker, if the Jags think he's a dominant player, say go ahead. Go put Cooper and Robinson and Lee and Thomas out there. Get that running back at some point. Now you got the pieces, right? Now you got to make sure the offensive line is up to snuff. But in terms of the weapons, they're there.
No, the weapons would be there. And, look, I know a lot of people are making that similar kind of argument for why they would like Amari Cooper to be the pick for the Jags at three, no matter what's left available to him on the board. That's the guy that they want the Jags to take at three. I look at it kind of the same way I do the Leonard Williams argument in my own head, where Leonard Williams is a player that it's, I feel like there's a pretty high potential that if you pass on Leonard Williams, if he's available at three, that in 4 or 5 years you're going to be looking back and going, what were we thinking? Who cares what we had playing left end for this team? What were we thinking passing up on a guy as talented as Leonard Williams? I think that there are a lot of people who feel the same way about Amari Cooper, that if they pass on him at three, they're going to be looking back and saying, why would we pass on a guy who's putting up these kind of numbers in the league? I don't feel that way about Amari Cooper, which is why I'm not pounding the drum for Amari Cooper at three to the Jags. I'm still on the defensive end, whether it be Dante Fowler or Leonard Williams or Vic Beasley or one of those guys to the Jags at number three in that spot because of their need for a pass rusher on this team. Now, I will say, regarding Cooper potentially being the pick there, if the Jaguars selected Amari Cooper, I'd be like, all right.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. I get why you would make him the pick. I wouldn't make him the pick, but I get why they would make him the pick, and it certainly will help Blake Bortles and his development. But I see defensive end as helping him too. Like, I see anything you're doing to improve this team and get it more competitive as helping Blake Bortles. Is it as direct as Amari Cooper? No, but I do believe in the guys that they have, the young wide receivers on this team, and adding Julius Thomas. And I think they're going to add a running back that's going to be a three-down guy for them this year. I think that they are addressing that offensive side of the ball, and the defense still needs help.
I'm just saying, though, yes, you help the defense, you help the quarterback. You help everybody. It's a team game. I get that, right? So yeah, you have a good punter, it helps everybody, too. And I'm not trying to make the case or revisit the Brian Anger pick, but there is something to getting that guy and surrounding him with the proper weapons. And
no,
maybe they feel that, you know what, Robinson and Lee will be those guys. But I think, clearly, Amari Cooper coming out, whether it's right or not, the feeling, the evaluation of him is several notches above those guys, right? I mean, whereas Marquise Lee fell to the second round, it wasn't stunning. It may be a little surprising to some people because he was still projected in a lot of projections to go maybe mid to late first round. Amari Cooper gets out of the top 10, it will be stunning to people. So there's a difference in that level, and it depends on how Dave Caldwell feels about that. Now, moving on to another player, Hacker brought up the point yesterday as I was driving home listening to XL Primetime, and he asked Joe and T-Wig, if Dave Caldwell believes that Todd Gurley is the number one player on his board, should he take him at number three? Well, how's the answer anything but yes? Honestly, how is the answer anything but yes? And there's a lot of equivocating going on. Well, I'd find a guy close to him. Well, what if he's a number one guy and you need him? Here's the thing. I don't think he would be the number one guy.
Yeah.
Because you factor in positional scarcity. You factor in injury. All the things that factor in. If you factored in everything about Todd Gurley, that it's easier to find running backs, that it's, he's coming off an ACL and we don't know exactly what he's going to be. Will he be 100%? And you still rate him the number one player? Hell yeah, you should take him with the third overall pick. It's not like you don't need that. I can see the difference between if you have Blake Bortles and you believe in him. Or let's say you're Seattle. Let's put the Blake Bortles out of it. You got Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one guy on your board is a quarterback. You don't take the quarterback. Okay? Because that's a position where you've got a guy and he's the alpha guy and it's not played that way. You don't play with, in most cases, unless the guy's getting to the end of his career like Brett Favre was, and you bring in an Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
Okay, and it's a value pick.
Look,
but
I think the board has to include the value of the position. I think that has to be part of it. I don't think you're just grading players, all right, he's a 91.
I agree.
You're just doing that. You're saying he's a 91 plus you're adding whatever value you put on that position. Look, if Todd Gurley was the highest rated player on Dave Caldwell's board, and he selected him with that third overall pick, if he really felt like he was the best player in this draft, all right, make the pick if you're Dave Caldwell. And I, I get where if he's the number one player on your board, you take him, unless it is a position you don't need. Like if you have a quarterback you're talking about with Seattle. And I would say if Todd Gurley is your number one player on the board, then we need to reevaluate who we have making decisions.
Well, what if it was Adrian Peterson? Would you feel the same way? Right? Because
it'd be different. It'd be different because that is the guy that's coming in healthy.
Okay, but, you know,
and by the way,
Adrian
Peterson
point.
Still went 8. Like, it's there is a positional
granted,
value.
But going back, if Adrian Peterson had gone 1, would you have argued with it? I don't know who went 1 that year.
I can't remember who went 1.
I know
that
Calvin
year.
Johnson went ahead of him.
He did.
But I don't remember who went 1.
I'd still take Calvin ahead of Peterson.
Whatever. Do you understand my point?
No, I understand. If he's the highest rated player on your board, I get it. You make the pick. I'm telling you that if we came in after the draft, even if he said it was our highest rated player on the board, I'd be like, what kind of evaluation is this?
Well, that to me would tell you how strongly they felt about that guy, because I agree with you. You take into account the position he plays, and that is factored into the grade. But my point being, I said it right from the jump. I don't think he would be the highest rated player on the board. But if you, knowing that you're going to factor in the positional scarcity and all this stuff and how abundant running backs are and how easy, and he's still the number one guy, because I'm telling you, if Adrian Peterson were coming out this year out of Oklahoma, like he was when he came out in the draft, and he was in this draft, you'd be taking him number 3, okay? There's no problem taking a running back number 3 if it's the right guy, if he's a transcendent all-timer. If you felt that way about Todd Gurley, maybe forget Gurley in this. If you felt that way about Melvin Gordon, right, because he doesn't have the injury issues, okay? If that's how you felt, if you're the GM, and it – is and it checks the box as a position of need, and he's the number one guy on your board.
Right.
Why wouldn't you take him?
No,
I don't understand why you wouldn't.
I think that goes more to the Amari Cooper argument than it does Todd Gurley this year, because you are talking about a player that is being talked about that way. I mean, on some big boards right now, you're seeing Amari Cooper as the third, fourth-rated player. Is it possible if you're a team who doesn't need a quarterback like Jacksonville that you evaluate all these guys? And Amari Cooper has the best evaluation of anybody in this draft? Yeah, it's possible, which is why if they called Amari Cooper's name at 3, I'd be like, all right, I'm okay with that. Would I have gone defensive line? Probably. But I understand that they may like him that much that they would make him the number 3 pick.
Right,
Gurley, no.
Brian Baldinger yesterday on the Frank Franchi show with Rick Ballew said this about Todd Gurley.
I think the best player in the draft is Todd Gurley. I know he's coming off an ACL injury and all that, but, I mean, he was dominated at the Southeastern Conference from the day he stepped foot on the field at the University of Georgia as an 18-year-old kid. I believe he's going to be a dynamic back the way we've seen Le'Veon Bell, the way DeMarco Murray, Shady McCoy. I mean, I think he's kind of a combination of all those guys. You know, size, weight, speed, vision. I mean, I just can't see him being a miss.
All right, well, again, he's not calling the shots, right?
No.
I think Todd Gurley's a special guy.
I do
and
too.
Had he not had the ACL, I think we'd be having a different conversation about it. I get the ACL thing, but my point being, I don't think he would be the number one guy on Dave Caldwell's board. But if he were, why wouldn't you take the number one guy on your board? Especially when you need that position and you can have that guy touch the ball. The guy's going to touch the ball more than any wide receiver's going to touch it.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't mean it won't impact. Wide receivers can impact the game even when they're not getting it. But so can the threat of that running back in the backfield if you get the right guy. So anyway, just interesting, I thought. Some interesting things going on in the Twitter sphere right now. I guess Team Hernandez is still going strong, right? We'll get to some of the comments making the rounds on Twitter. Aaron Hernandez convicted today of first-degree murder. He will serve life in prison without the possibility of parole for this murder, with other murders to be alleged murders, at least, to be answered for in the days ahead. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get on board. Today's fan feedback question of the day: what's your favorite face-to-face encounter you've ever had with a Jacksonville Jaguar? You can call the show and tell us about that, or tweet or post on the Facebook page as well. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Metro Rooter Wednesday continues. Jaguars today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. A Friday Top 5. Give it to you right now. I meant to give it to you yesterday, but I, as often is the case, I forget when I say I'm going to do something. Don't follow through, Tony. No follow through. The Who in concert here in Jacksonville on Sunday.
Yeah.
Special guest, Joan Jett. So Friday's Top 5, your top 5 favorite Who songs of all time. If you don't have 5, you're a bad person. So, you know, consider that when you decide whether or not you're going to participate in the Friday Top 5 this week. That's what we're going with on Friday. All right, here. I'll go with the lighter side of Twitter for a moment here.
Okay.
Fake SportsCenter, as you pointed out to me, as did Tyler. Upon hearing of Aaron Hernandez's conviction on first-degree murder charges, Roger Goodell suspended Aaron Hernandez for 2 additional games. So you got that.
They were just the league was waiting to see how the whole legal process played out.
We got to let the legal folks have their say. Now that we know, we feel it's appropriate that to show that we do not abide first-degree murder.
Again, fake SportsCenter.
Fake SportsCenter.
Yeah.
Reading this.
Okay? Fake.
Real Brandon Spikes had this to say. This is real Brandon Spikes, former college teammate of one Aaron Hernandez. I guess former pro teammate of him, too, right?
Yep.
They were with the Patriots at the same time. I suppose in reaction to the same news, Aaron Hernandez guilty of first-degree murder, life in prison without the possibility of parole. In all caps, Brandon Spikes tweets, "I'm confused about the justice system these days, dot, dot, dot." Now, all kinds of stories about the justice system and, you know, police shooting unarmed black men and, you know, the response to that. Are they being held accountable? You got the story of the 73-year-old volunteer deputy thought I thought I was tasering the guy and I shot him.
Eric Harris, yeah.
Right. I mean, just on and on and on. So certainly there are things that are justifiable for people to question the justice system. Aaron Hernandez is not one of them.
No.
Okay? So I guess because justice you feel may not have been served in some other cases, what? Aaron Hernandez should walk on first-degree murder charges when he seems to be a straight-up sociopath? But so I assume then Brandon Spikes took a lot of heat for that on Twitter.
I'm sure he did.
And he replied with this, "I'll get back on tomorrow when y'all done fake caring." Okay. Brandon, I'll tell you what, if you want to take tomorrow off too, that'd be just fine. Or maybe go borrow Mike Pouncey's Free Hernandez hat. I don't think he's worn it lately because he wanted to ensure himself getting that new contract from the Dolphins, so he wanted to tone that attitude down a little bit. Maybe there'll be a Free Hernandez rally with these fellows. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I guess I'm fake caring, Tony, that people get murdered and
right.
That the people who do the murdering go to jail for it. So I'll try to stop fake caring now.
Look, again, I can understand why there's people out there that are frustrated with what may be going on in the justice system in America and the way some things are being handled. That's fine. You're allowed to be frustrated. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. This is America, right? You have the right to have that opinion and express it. Now, this would be an example of the justice system working. When someone who murders another person is put on trial and a jury of their peers decides, yes, he did it, this is an example of the justice system working, not some failure in it. So, look, Brandon, if you want to be upset that your friend is going to prison for the rest of his life, I get it. We didn't put him in that position. He put himself in that kind of position.
And apparently multiple times.
I mean...
Do I not believe
like
the stories? Now that he's been convicted of first-degree murder, do I not believe that he shot these other people he's accused of shooting?
Like we said, it didn't matter what the outcome was today. He's not walking away from that courtroom.
Right. He's got another double murder trial awaiting him, and he's got others that may not be prosecuted for lack of cooperating witnesses and the like. Wrong fight to pick. Wrong horse to back here.
I mean, I'm reading up on it a little bit. Apparently, there's still some people that are saying that they don't have a murder weapon, so how could they prove it was Aaron Hernandez?
Well, that'd be simple then. I mean, kill someone and just get rid of the murder weapon, and then you'd never have to go to jail.
Yeah. I mean, I told you I watched the Jinx over the weekend, and that guy exposed that guy's head. Dismembered a body after he was shot in what he claimed was self-defense in an apartment, completely cut up the body, put it in 6 different garbage bags, got rid of the head somehow, it's still never been found, and a jury of 12 people bought it. That was self-defense after he cut the body up and disposed of the head. He didn't do that with any malice in his heart. Well,
maybe,
he was
maybe
pretty damn cold-hearted after the fact.
Maybe Wilson Fisk got it caught in the door.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe he did. Yeah, I told
I'm
you hadn't
up.
Seen anything
I'm
yet.
Catching. Oh, no.
Said you were 3 in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah,
oh.
Well, that was a good one. I like Vincent D'Onofrio. He's a good actor.
He's good.
Daredevil. Marvel's
How far
Daredevil.
In are you?
Maybe 7.
Okay.
Six or seven in.
Episode 9 is... Oh, my
is it?
Goodness. I love 9.
I don't want to give away too many spoilers or any spoilers
nope.
here. We like our comic
but
book
episode
adaptations.
9, you think you've enjoyed Fisk to this point? Oh, my gosh. It's so great.
So, like, ultimately, in the movies, are they going to bring the... Because these guys are part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right?
Yeah.
Right? Because they reference the Avengers.
Yeah, they reference the attack on New York.
The incident.
The battle in New York.
In Hell's Kitchen.
But you got 3 more series coming to Netflix, and then they're going to combine all those heroes into a Netflix series called The Defenders.
Right, which is a real superhero troop in Marvel's
Which I'm not sure if it's going to ever cross over with what they're doing on the movie screen or not.
Power Man, Iron Fist, who else?
Cage. Is going to be
in there. Power Man, Luke Cage, Power Man,
and AKA Jessica Jones. Is that it?
I don't know her story.
Yeah.
Anyway, because I just wonder how they would like reconcile Matt Murdock's way of going about things with Steve Rogers going. way
I don't
going
think
about
they can.
Things.
I don't think those guys would get along at all.
Hey, let's team up. All right. Way
you have one PG-13 fight going on, and over here, Daredevil's breaking people in half.
Way inside the comics now. Marcus Vick has weighed in on Twitter.
What?
Marcus Vick. Marcus Vick is...
Some people shouldn't be allowed to have Twitter.
You think about Michael Vick. Michael Vick's caused himself enough problems. He doesn't need his brother bringing more attention.
Marcus helps.
He certainly does. Marcus Vick added on Twitter, that is a long time in the slammer. I mean, they still going to put him on trial for the second murder, question mark? That's probably a waste of time, being that he already have an L. Damn, I guess a loss. He took an L, Tony, today in court. He took an L. Well, I guess that's not the worst. It is a long time in the slammer. That's the rest of your life, dude. You took someone else's life. That's the rest of theirs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Owen Lloyd is gone. And Hernandez gets to live his out behind bars. So you're right. That to me, not as bad as,
No, Spikes was dumb.
Spikes just dumb. Let's go to Will. Let's clear the palate now and go to Will on Jaguars today. Good morning, Will. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
I call about the draft, but just, to help you guys out with Spikes and Vic real quick. First off, L means life. You took an L. You took a life.
Oh, okay.
Life.
Took a life. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, L means life. Or if you see elbow, elbow means life. That's slang. That's street slang. That's what that
All
means.
Right.
Elbow and L. Okay. And I thank you guys taking Spikes out of content. What he's saying is, to me, what I'm getting out of it is, and Hernandez is supposed to got what he got, first off. Don't misconstrue with that. What he's saying is he don't understand the justice system. Big giving a great example in one case. If he's already got life without a possibility chance for parole, why even use taxpayers' money to take him to trial?
Or because hold on. Well, what if it was your family that was victimized in that other trial? Would you just say, well, he's good. They got him on the other one. My family doesn't matter. Would that be cool with you?
But yes, it would. I mean,
it would. Okay. Good to know.
Reason why I'm saying it, if I know that I believe that he did it. I feel good about, hey, he's not getting out anyways. I feel good about that. And another situation would be the St. Louis situation when the kid got shot by the officer. You had evidence that the officer shot him. You had videotape that the officer shot him. Da 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 da. They get off, and you're missing evidence. Not just the gun. If you paid attention to the trial, not just the gun. The murder weapon is missing. It's a lot of things that was a lot of holes in that. In Hernandez trial, where I even thought, even Franzi even thought that he was probably going to get about 5 or 10 years.
Let me ask you, Will. Do you think he did it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, how can you possibly think that without the murder weapon?
Because I'm on the same thing where you is. When you hear some of the situations this guy's had, some of the experiences, even from college on out, you can kind of tell this guy's a psychopath. You kind of can get that vibe. I understand that.
That's not convicting him in a court of law. I understand. Look, you have the right to your opinion, man. I just think this is the wrong fight to take up. Yeah, there are injustices that happen every single day, and you should speak up and protest and fight against those. This is not an injustice, in my opinion. He's not the first guy convicted without a murder weapon. Okay.
No.
There was tons of circumstantial evidence of his behavior, his guilty state of mind, okay? If he, as his lawyer tried to suggest in his closing argument, while admitting he was at the scene of the murder, placed him at the scene of the murder in his closing argument, if he was just a witness who was traumatized, why'd he go back and destroy his own security system? I mean, come on. I think the preponderance of all the circumstantial evidence, which you can convict somebody on, convicted him, right? There was no reasonable doubt to be had that Aaron Hernandez did this. That's why he got convicted. And if you convict him, it's not a degree of conviction. You don't convict him 51%. You either convict him or you don't. If he's convicted, the sentence comes down. He's guilty. First-degree murder, life without the possibility of parole. Look, this is not the banner to take up when you want to point out the injustices of the justice system, in my opinion. But if you want to feel differently, and that's fine. You know, I'll tell you this. Somebody did harm to my family. I'd want that person to account for the particular harm they did to my family. I'm not going to say, well, we got him for something he did to somebody else. No, I'd like my day in court. That's how I'd feel about it. Or I'd like him to at least accept a guilty plea and acknowledge what he did. But I guess not everybody feels that way, and that's okay. Let's move on. And we'll come back with Fan Feedback Spotlight. Will, thank you for the call. 641-1010 if you'd like to get in. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Cat wins the closest to the pin today out at Sawgrass. Well, it was like under 5 feet, right? Four foot something.
4'9".
4'9". That's just ridiculous. Just quit golf. Everyone out there listening, quit golf. Just quit, right? I'm thinking about quitting until the next time I play. I'm going to quit from now until my next time I play, buddy. In the suit with the big gut. I got to put that head on, so I wonder if my big fat head would fit in the head if you let me put it on. Just, I want to see what the sight lines are like in that thing, because I would think as you're making your turn back, you'd lose the ball. You wouldn't be able to see it. You know, how much peripheral vision do you have in that thing?
Right.
But
apparently enough.
He beat them all.
Yeah.
He beat them all. Bob Duvall.
Yeah, apparently he put it to, he won with that shot.
Correct.
He put it to about 15 feet from his knees with a driver.
15 feet.
15 feet.
This is stupid. All right? To hit a driver, and I realize, you know, he's in the suit, he's not taking a big swing like everybody else, but to hit a driver the right trajectory, like a choke down driver on your knees, that it holds the green, is silly. It's just silly. So good for the cat, once again, shaming all of us for attempting to play the game of golf, as far as that goes. Tony, let's have some happy talk.
Let's do it.
Should we? Fan Feedback Spotlight today brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking Jaguar fans what drives you every day. Today we asked you about, and this, you know, honestly, this was inspired by Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball. And we wanted to go down the road of, you know, some positivity, some good role models, things like that. And we boiled it down to your best face-to-face encounter with a Jaguar player or coach, I suppose, past or present. Give us a look.
Here's what we got from Duval Doom. Easy. There have been many, but Donovan Darius in the alumni category, Carson Tinker in the current. From Michael, we got Derek Cox in a Costco parking lot after he saw my William and Mary bumper sticker. Super nice. Cox humbly and politely explained to my mom that he was a professional football player. From Cristiano, he said, never met any, hope to do it when the Pro Bowl comes down here. Hashtag Jaguars Today correspondent.
That's our Pro Bowl correspondent.
That's
yes.
Right. From Eric, I had a fun night out drinking with George Selvey when he was here. Hashtag Irish breakfast shots. From Demetrius, I have yet to meet any as of today, but if I could, it would be the best defensive tackle in Jags history, John Henderson. Hashtag the slap. From Kevin, I met Jimmy Smith twice, always had time for fans, great guy, I wish him well. From Matt, met Keenan at Winn-Dixie after a Meadowlands game. He told me it was a rough surface. Keenan had bandages all on his arms, mostly his elbows, from landing on the turf.
I bet they were stylish bandages, though.
I bet they
probably
were. That
was Keenan's style.
From Ocho, we got Kevin Hardy at Crawdaddy's when he was a rookie, and I was a drunk sailor at Champagne Punch. From Black Dog, cross paths with Ernest Wilford and Greg Jones at Southampton Golf Course during a storm delay. Had nice 30-minute beer and talk. From at Irish Jaguar, he sadly is still waiting for his first meeting with the Jag. He didn't make it out for practice last year when y'all were over the pond, apparently. From Black Dog, just read his. And Christoph from over there across the pond sent a picture of him shaking hands with Blake Bortles And just this, it's, I'm going to retweet the picture right now because it strikes me as funny him staring at his own hand touching Blake's. It's like, I'm touching
my
Blake
hand.
Bortles right now. But just retweeted that picture if you want to take a look.
All right, I got a few on Facebook. Matthew Ryan said he met John Yurkovic at training camp. He was one of the last to get out on the field for training camp. He was actually talking to me when Coughlin yelled at him to get out on the field. I was 14 at the time. He was just talking and asking all about how school was going and all that stuff. Signed my Brunell jersey, even though he told me to ask for his jersey for Christmas. Haha. Great guy, though. Joshua Lee writes at Donovan Darius. Double D has always been a nice person to speak with. Ran into him as a kid a few times. Had a cool bowling night with us folks from the message board as well years ago. I remember when he did that, the Donovan Darius bowling night, even though he couldn't pronounce my username. And I'm not going to try to pronounce it now because I get it wrong. How about that? I remember Donovan once on another network that used to try called up the show and invited me and Travis Newsom and probably Hacker at the time. I forget who all was with the crew. Might have been you at the time, Tony, to his 4th of July party. And that was very nice. He didn't have to do that. And I had plans to go out of town that day to go down to my sister's at the time, so I didn't take him up on it. But Double D is right up there. To me, probably Donovan Darius, David Garrard, Maurice Jones-Drew, Paul Spice were probably the four guys that I've had the best connection with, you know, just working and meeting those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a real, you know, one of those face-to-face encounter things because ever since pretty much 96, I guess, you know, our encounters have come through work. So it's a little different.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Let's see. Dustin Smith, Kyle Burke, long snapper back in 2002, helped me change my tire.
Oh, cool.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Charlie Oscar, Josh Scobie, met him at TPC a few years back. He's inside the ropes walking with the group and stopped and talked to us. My girlfriend's a Colts fan. She started talking about Vinatieri when he mentioned, didn't we beat y'all with a 59-yard field goal? Priceless. Hashtag Jaguars today. Excellent work right there. So there you have it. A couple of quick things before we get out of here today. Chris Burke, SI.com, put up a new mock draft, his version 6.0. It's coming to an end, folks. If you're sick of it, it's coming to an end. We were pretty light on the draft stuff today.
We were.
By the way.
About 2 weeks.
I believe he had Leonard Williams going 2. I don't have it up in front of me right now, but he had Vic Beasley as the Jags' choice, and his comment was, Beasley has a chance to be special, like best player in this draft special. If he lands with a coach that can unleash his athleticism on a consistent basis, Gus Bradley would have as much a chance as anyone to do just that. And he did a 2-round mock where in the second round for the Jags, he had Jalen Collins, the corner slash safety out of LSU. I know a lot of people are looking at him. He's kind of the prototypical Jag corner. He's a bit long, mm-hmm. You know, 6'1", 6'2". Only started 10 games at LSU over a period of years. Was kind of they rotated their defensive backs, but reading the scouting report, you know, really good on turning, tracking, you know, it seemed like best suited, though, as a man coverage guy. I don't know if that's what you want in your free safety.
Right.
I know D-Rock, who we had on yesterday, Mike DiRocco, writing for ESPN, he aggregates once or twice a week all the Jag stories that are out there
mm-hmm.
on the web. And one of them was the guy, is it Chris Barnwell or Bill Barnwell?
It's Bill.
Bill Barnwell at Grantland?
Yeah.
Don't ever read Grantland again. Jag's biggest draft need, cornerback. What? How's that their biggest need? I mean, you know.
Well, they only got 4 that can play, so.
Right, particularly the top 3 and how they feel about them. I mean, yeah, just because, what, Demetrius McCray was a later pick, and so is Aaron Colvin, but
right.
You got to know his story, right? You got to know who they signed in free agency, don't you? I mean, all right, if you want to say they could still beef up the corners.
Certainly not the biggest need.
No, we're close to the biggest
yeah,
need.
Yeah, have you looked at the running back position on this team? I get cornerback's a bigger deal than running back in this league, but have you looked at the depth chart?
You could talk offensive line if you
right.
want to, and not necessarily even a specific position. Just say better across the board, right?
Right?
I mean, defensive end, just having that one marquee defensive end. I think linebackers still, even with Skuda, you know, Posluszny is getting he's accumulating some injuries now, and as much as they love what he brings to the table, I think it's great likelihood this is his last season in Jacksonville. Who's the answer beyond Paul Posluszny? Will they draft his eventual replacement in this draft? Wouldn't surprise me one bit, even with Skuda on board, if the Jags spent a couple of picks
mm-hmm.
on linebacker, if you know the value plays out at certain spots. A lot of positions I think we put up there above the cornerback position. Finally, let me, as we close out with this, in the old days, I might have led the show with this and made the next 2 or 3 hours about it. How do you feel about people greeting you when you walk in the business?
That doesn't bother me.
No?
No.
I'm torn.
I didn't even ask, like, what kind of business it was. What is it, a grocery store?
No, this is a bank.
A bank.
Okay. Now, look.
Are you talking about, like, a Welcome to Moe's or what?
See, now, like, you get the Welcome to Moe's, right? And I get that's their thing, but I just kind of blow that off. Like, I know that's your thing. You got to say it. Welcome to Moe's. Okay, great, great. Give me a whatever you got up there. All right? Give me a burrito. You know, I'm not talking about, like, Norm at Cheers, right? You don't go to public. I'm not talking about the Walmart greeter. Because you walk in and you walk up and she says, hey, would you like a cart? Oh, yeah, that's a, yes, I would like a cart. Thank you. And hello while you're handing me a cart. I go to the bank. I'm not going to tell you which bank. I've had some issues with banks around here lately. Had to leave one after a long time with them because they just kept screwing me up every time I left town. They'd shut down my account. So anyway, going to the bank yesterday. Hi! I mean, from all the way across the lobby. And I'm like, I don't even know. Are they talking to me? I'm not sure. So I'm like, hi?
Hey.
Okay, great. Now I walk up to the desk. I pull out the check. I'm looking at it. You know, is it out to Mike or Michael? I want to sign it the same way. So I'm signing the check. How you doing? What? Really? We're going to have this conversation across the lobby of the bank? I'm like, I just looked. I was like,
she's bored.
I might have grunted at her. I'm not sure. So I go up there. And now I'm in a mood, right? Now I'm just not having it with you, chipper person. You're way too chipper. Don't engage me in a conversation from across the lobby. I don't want to yell across the lobby. I don't even know if you're talking to me. And I go up there, and then she put that special, well, have a nice day, Mr. Dempsey, as if I'm the bad guy here. Stop yelling at me from across the lobby. I don't want to have to deal with it anymore. So note to bank people. Not a good practice.
Doesn't bother me. Apparently it bothers Mike.
It bothers me. Maybe looking for a new bank again soon. I'm just that guy, Tony. Things set me off.
How dare you say hello and greet me when I walk into your building?
Yes. No, I mean, say hello if you were like
treat
at the door.
Treat me like the lemming I am.
If you were at the door, hey, how you doing? Great. How are you? Fine. Don't yell at me from across the lobby to the fact I don't even know if you're talking to me.
She's probably new.
And then, how you doing? What? How am I doing? I'm here to deposit some money, please. Can we go on about our business? Thus ends my day. On Jack Horse Today.
Some lady tried to be kind to Mike.
I know. And I was not having it. All right. That does it for us. Metro Rooter. We appreciate those guys. They don't yell at you at Metro Rooter. They take care of your plumbing issues. 695-1911, the number for them. Joe C., Hacker, T-Way coming up next, XL Primetime on 1010XL. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, still looking for more participants in his Predict the Schedule contest.
Maybe he'll get
yesterday.
A couple tomorrow.
Maybe he'll get Osier to feel sorry for him today. For all the aforementioned, that does it for us. XL Primetime up next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.